was reading an article last week about different types of industries making predictions. On the technology front, there's predictions on how many homes are going to have this new Amazon service where they can actually deliver in your, into your home. There was a survey of predictions for 2018 with robots. They say robots now are going to influence our lives more, not just cutting grass, but a lot of other things. There's going to be robots taking over the streets. And then I saw a sports prediction for 2018 where they had the Brewers winning the World Series, sweeping the New York Yankees. Yeah, I found that on Clueless.com. Forbes magazine even got into it. Now, they talked about healthcare predictions, five healthcare predictions for 2018. Number one, specialty diseases will be on the rise. That's not a good stat. Two, big pharmaceutical companies will get bigger. That's true. Three, major technology breakthroughs in gene technology, which will really help patients who have some cancers. That's good news. Four, there'll be a lot more generic drugs on the market, so the costs will go down because $17 billion worth of patents are expiring. And then fifth, the American Medical Association will release a big study, important study they've been working on last 20 years that will conclude that Genoa salami and provolone sub is healthier choice than salads and yogurt. I made that last one up. So that's only the medical predictions. If you were to Google 2018 predictions politics, wow, you're going to get a lot of hot stuff there. I did it. And I'll tell you what, it was just one word that came to mind, fear. There's a culture of fear out there, with not just what's going on with North Korea, but fear of the unknown. And of course, you add to that the fact that we get our news today in real time. You know, it's not like before where our ancestors, you know, they would take a while for news to get to them. They had almost ignorance was bliss in a lot of ways. But now we get it in real time, and that creates a lot of fear. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, for the Christian, this is a command we don't want to obey, but yet Jesus, not just Jesus, is even New Testament writers, they keep putting it in command form. What am I talking about? Jesus constantly was telling us, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about your future. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus speaking, so don't worry about tomorrow. Can it be even more plain? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus is saying you and I ought to learn to live in a 24-hour period. Not that we don't plan, planning is fine, but that we don't worry about tomorrow. So if we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow, if we're not supposed to worry about 2018, how do we view it? And the answer is you need to focus on the things that you do know about 2018, the things that you do know about the future. In what John Piper calls future grace. Future grace means that God has already promised to extend grace to you in the future. He's already promised you that. And so what I want to talk about is four predictions, four reasons, if you will, that you don't have to worry about anything that will come your way in 2018. Number one. God knows the plan for 2018. He already knows it. He won't be surprised by anything you experience. God knows everything that will happen to you and your family in 2018. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. He sees everything, right? Past, present, future. Psalm 139 says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Wow, wait a minute here. He's saying all of it is already laid out. How can God do that? Well, he's not limited by time or space. He can be present. Of course, he's in the past. He was in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. All at the same time. God sees it all. He's omniscient, means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he can be everywhere at all times. In fact, I got news for you. You may want to sit down for this one. He ordains it. I'm not saying he's the author of terrible things that you're going to experience. Much of that comes from, of course, the enemy. But if he allows it, somehow it's part of his plan. The devil can only do what God allows him to do. He controls your future. And I know that's extremely confusing to many people. It's confusing to me sometimes when I see what he allows. But somehow he ordains everything. At the very least, he could have prevented it. He controls the future. Nothing can happen to you without his approval. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he takes it. He takes all of it. And now he begins to unfold his plan. Isaiah chapter 42, watch this. I am the Lord, and that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. Everything prophesied has come true, and now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. How can God do that? How can he tell somebody the future if he doesn't ordain it? Isaiah chapter 46, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Does that mean I'm not going to decide what happens in 2018 for myself? No, you will make decisions. We're going to get into that in a moment. You'll make lots of decisions. But your decision-making, folks, is limited. It's limited under his ultimate plan for you. And I don't know how you think about that, but you should be very glad for that. Because your understanding and your discernment is very limited, not to mention sinful. I'm so glad a good and perfect God, who knows all things, who cares about me, that his sovereign purposes and will overrides at times my sinful decision-making. Will you decide? Absolutely. But somehow, we don't know exactly how this works. God's sovereign plan is working exactly the way it should. God knows the plan for 2018, and he ordains it. So let me tell you how you apply this. You apply it in this way. Don't try and play God this year. Well, Pastor, I don't want to play God. How do I play God? You play God when you take your worries and other people's worries and you try and control it all. Let me repeat that. You play God when you take all of your worries and other people's worries and you try to control the outcomes. That's God's job. See, there are not only people who try and play God, there are people who actually think they're God. There are people who they would never say that, but what in essence they're saying, I'm going to determine my future. I am my own God. Nietzsche said, I am the captain of my soul. It's not just psychiatric wards who claim to have people in it who believe that they're God. There's some people who try and act like God every day. You heard about the guy in the psychiatric ward, though, who ran around telling everybody he was Moses. And everybody kind of went along with it. His doctor went along with it. And finally, his doctor said, listen, you're not Moses. He said, yes, I am. He said, who told you you were Moses? He says, God did. The guy in the next bed said, I did not tell him that. Here's a newsflash. You are not God. So leave the plan, whatever it is, leave the plan for 2018 to him. Number two, God promises to be one, not 98, not 99, but 100% faithful to you. 100%. You know what that means? That means he'll be with you. He'll be with you every circumstance, every time you have to make a decision. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says this. Look at this. Again, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He'll be with you. He'll never fail you nor abandon you. I mean, how clear does God, how much, God can't get any clearer than that. And frankly, that's all I need. That's all I need. I'm not saying I'm looking forward to a challenging time in 2018, but whatever comes my way, the fact that I know God will be with me through it all, that's all I need. None of you know what's going to happen this year. But I can tell you this, whatever's going to happen to you this year, you will not go it alone. God says, I am with you. I've always been with you. I'll be with you in 2018, every step of the way. That is called God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. Psalm 145 says, the Lord always keeps his promises. Always. He is gracious in all he does. God knows the plan. He knows everything that will happen to me in 2018. Number two, God is going to be 100% faithful to me. He'll be with me through it all. Number three, God will keep working on you in 2018. And this is an important promise. What does this mean? He's going to continue to work inside of you and keep working the thing he's started in your life. Even if you had a bad last year, even if 2017 didn't really work out that well, you don't think spiritually you grew the way you should have, God is faithful. He's faithful. He completes what he starts. 2018 will be another building year for you. What kind of building year? Your inner life. He's going to build on you. He's going to tweak. He's going to take things that are in your heart and in your mind that needs to be redeemed. He's going to work there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. That's make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it gets completed in glory. The one who calls you is faithful, and what? He will do it. He will do it. He does it. He matures. He grows. He completes what he started. God does it. God does it. Not you. Not you. It doesn't say you're responsible to do it. God does it. Should you cooperate? Yeah, I would suggest you do that. It's a lot easier than learning the hard way. But still, the promise to keep working inside of you, to complete the work that started, that's a God thing. See, God is not like you and me. Human beings very often do not finish what they start. If we ever needed a month to be reminded of that, it's this month, January. Why? Well, because every January, Sportsplex is packed, YMCAs are packed, health clubs are packed with people. What? If you belong to a gym, you look around, you see people you never saw before. It's filled with people on treadmills who are treadmilling for the first time and wearing spandex, which they should not be wearing. It's full of all kinds of people. Now, fast forward to May or June, forget about it. They're not full anymore, the gyms. By December, I guarantee you, the membership list at these health clubs will be filled with people who started a good work but faded out before the finish line. God is not like that. When he starts, he finishes. Is that not good news? That's really good news. It was up to me, I probably would not finish. But he's made the promise. I will complete the work I start. In 2018, God knows everything that's going to happen to you already. Not only is he aware of it, he in some way ordains it. Two, he's going to be 100% faithful. He'll be with you every step of the way in 2018. Number three, He'll keep working on you and inside of you. He finishes what he starts. And number four, God will guide you through every decision that you'll have to face in 2018. Every decision. This year, like every year, you will face literally thousands of decisions. Now, most of them will be minor, but there'll be some major ones in there. And you will be faced with some hard choices at times, different paths to take. Now, we all know this verse, but I wonder how many of us really apply it. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to take it apart in a second. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart, all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him, and the promise, He will make your paths straight. You don't have to be afraid of making any kind of decision this year, because God has already promised to make your path straight for 2018. What do I have to do, Pastor? First of all, you got to acknowledge that He's there. That He's aware and He cares. So I acknowledge that. Secondly, I'm going to trust Him. Thirdly, I'm not going to lean on my understanding. There's nothing wrong with trying to bring your perspective or discernment to a situation, but the truth of the matter is, we can be very superficial, and we can be fooled at times. It's our feelings. How many people make decisions today by what they feel? Very dangerous. So we lean on our understanding. But if we acknowledge Him, we trust Him, we don't lean on our understanding, He promises to make our path straight. Where do people go for wisdom today and insight? Well, I think most of the time, they either listen to themselves, they listen to family or friends. And none of that is really terrible in itself. The problem is it's limited. It's limited. Some of us read magazine articles. Some of us watch Dr. Phil or go to a psychic or even check out the horoscope. Or in today's world, we Google for a decision. Lots of goofy ways people get their facts for decision-making. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says, fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. Pastor, why should I lean on God for my decision-making? Answer, because He's already in the future. He's outside of time. That's why you don't lean on your understanding, or anyone else's for that matter. He'll show you the best thing to do. Okay, let me lay this out then practically. If you're going to make a decision in 2018, here's what I would do. The first thing I would do is I would go to Scripture. Why? Because this is the main way God speaks to us. He doesn't speak through your feelings. The main way He speaks to you is through the book. So you go, okay, what are the principles there, or what is the clear teaching of Scripture that would guide me on what I should do? That's the first place you go. Second, you pray. You open up the communication lines with God. It's amazing when you do that, when you really start to pray about something consistently. And third, you seek godly counsel. You go to people you trust who, first of all, know the book and walk with God and are wise people. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. So you look at the track record. And there's a good track record. It amazes me all the time about people who go to people for advice on parenting, and you look at their kids, and it's a mess. Why would you go to them to ask them about parenting? You want to go to a place. You want to go to somebody that's got a pretty good track record. So you seek godly counsel. And if you do those things, if you study Scripture, you find out what the Bible has to say about this. You pray, and then you seek godly counsel. Let me tell you something. When you're in a decision to make a decision, you'll know what to do. And even if it's not perfect, God says, you do those things, I'll make your path straight. I'll make it come out okay. Christians of all people should not be afraid to make decisions. We're set up for success. Not to mention the Holy Spirit, God Himself living inside of you, that will guide you, that will probably take you, because the Spirit always takes us to truth, will take you something that you've read or something that you heard in a sermon or something that you're saying, now wait a minute, that's a principle. Not your feelings, not your feelings. I'm telling you, I'd be a rich man every time, if I had a dollar, every time somebody came in and said, Pastor, I'm going to do this because I just feel like it's the right thing to do. This is where the Bible says you have to have your mind transformed in the way you think, the way you make decisions. How many times I've been in a situation where I got to make a decision, it's pretty important, so I lift up a prayer right away, and I say, Lord, I need your discernment, I need your wisdom on this thing. And usually the Holy Spirit will bring me back to something from God's Word that guides me. And then just to make sure it's the right thing, I'll call somebody or talk to somebody I trust and get their counsel. Proverbs says, plans fail for lack of many counselors. It may not be easy. The decision may not be easy, may not be comfortable, but I'll know what to do. And more than that, because I took those steps, I know that God's promises to make my path straight. I don't got to worry about the decision. I don't have to worry about being a Monday morning quarterback. I can follow through. Let me hit the pause button here. Let me tell you what I'm not saying this morning. I am not saying that your 2018 is going to be a breeze. What I am saying is that God promises to guide you through 2018, through every decision. 2018 may have as much, maybe even more challenges than 2017 did. But whether you experience good times, easy times, a few challenging times or circumstances that will absolutely bring you to your knees, God has the plan to support you and bring you through it to the other side. One of the places that we visit every time we go to Israel is the plain of Jezreel, otherwise called Armageddon. We actually go up to where Ezekiel took on the prophets of Baal, up to this mountain. It's the best location, in my view, to see it. And you'll go up to the mountain, and there's a little place there for people to take their pictures, and you see this incredible valley that stretches a long way, mountain range on either side. And it's all farms there. It's fertile. It's beautiful. And then you realize this is why Napoleon said it's the perfect battlefield. It's where the armies of the world one day, after they're so frustrated, after 7 years of tribulation, will actually try and fight God. And they'll gather in the place called Armageddon. It's in the Jezreel Valley. It's a very, very famous place for the military. Many famous battles have been fought there throughout history, not just with Jews. A lot of famous battles. But one of the most famous ones recorded in the scriptures is between Gideon and the Midianites. What used to happen is, in one part of the valley, the Jews would be farming the land and they would get crops. But at that time, the Midianites, a very powerful force, they would raid them. They'd wait till the crop, they'd let them do all the grunt work. When the crops were coming up, they would come with their armies and they'd plunder the land, just leave them a little few things left over. I don't know if you remember the story, but at one point, God says he chooses a man called Gideon, calls him a great warrior. He's not a great warrior. But he says, Gideon, I want you to fight the Midianites. And Gideon says, the Midianites. You know how big their army was? 135,000 soldiers. Gideon sends words out to the tribes to join him. You know how many soldiers sign up? 32,000 Jewish soldiers sign up. The Midianites have the advantage, 4-1. So God says to Gideon, Gideon, you got a numbers problem here. And Gideon says, God, I'm really glad you're seeing that. What's the plan? He says, here's the plan. Announce to the troops, anybody who's afraid, you can go home. What? What are you saying, Lord? They'll all leave. In fact, most of them do. 22,000 leave. God says to Gideon, you still got a numbers problem. Too many. Trim it down to 300. And by the way, these are not equally trained military warriors like the Midianites. This is like 300 mall cops going against 135,000 Navy SEALs. And Gideon said, oh, great. Now we're outnumbered, 450-1. We don't have time for it, but you know the end of the story. God does something supernatural. He sends his troops down there. They surprise them in the middle of the night. They get up. They don't know what to do. They start running into each other and killing each other, and they end up winning. What's the message? God's trying to get a message to his people, and it's this message. Don't be afraid. Even if the enemy is big, real big, guess what? I'm bigger. You don't handle this stuff on your own. I'm a big God. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that in 2018. Whatever you face, here's the Lord's word to you today. This is what God's trying to communicate. I already know about the Midianites that are going to be in your life. I know about your dreams for 2018. I know about your fears for 2018. And I certainly know about your concerns for 2018. You trust me. You trust me. I am a big God. And I keep my promises. Let's stand for closing prayer. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for reminding all of us who you are. You're not the last resort. Well, I got nothing else I can do. I guess I can pray. You're the first choice. You're the only one that knows the future. You live in it and you ordain it. We'd be absolute fools to exclude you. But that's not what you want us to do. You want us to go into this year victorious, living in your future grace, living in your promises. And so I pray, Lord, we'll remember these truths this year. And if we face any giants, or we face the Midianites, remind us of the lesson you tried to teach your people. You don't need a lot. You just need me. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace has given us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you this year in every good deed and word. And God's people said, amen.